Everyone, it's good to see you, and it's good to be with you again today here at First Baptist Church in Bisbee. Thank you, Scott, for reading the scripture for us this morning. I want to talk to you this morning about the grace of God. God has available for you and me grace that is able to strengthen you and able to help you live the victorious Christian life. Grace that will help you to remain strong in your faith, regardless of the circumstances that may encounter your life. You can be strong in the Lord by God's wonderful grace. The popular gospel song, Amazing Grace, has a verse that says, "Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home." No word in the Christian vocabulary is more beautiful or more radiant than that word, grace. For sure, the marvelous grace of God does forgive us of our sins. We're saved by grace, only by God's wonderful grace. Thank God for His forgiving grace. But God's grace is not limited just to forgiveness. God's grace is something we abide in and live by day after day. Grace is something we live by as Christians. As a pastor for many years, I would sit and listen to somebody tell me their troubles, their heartaches, their hardships, their difficulties, their sorrows, their afflictions, their anguish, their grief. And then I would pray for them. And sometimes I would pray that God would give them an extra portion of His enabling grace. Grace that would be supplied to them, dished out to them in abundance according to their need. Have you ever felt that you needed an extra portion of God's grace, wishing you could have a second helping? Well, God invites you to partake of His wonderful grace. In fact, He wants to dispense His grace to your heartfelt need. The Bible tells us that we are to come boldly to the throne of a gracious God, and there we'll find help in time of need and grace that we needed. One of the best Bible narratives that demonstrates the extent of God's enabling grace is in the passage that was read to you by Scott this morning in Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas went to the town of Philippi to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they were having marvelous results. A high-class businesswoman named Lydia was saved, and then a demon-possessed slave girl who was a fortune teller was also marvelously saved and delivered. However, this unusual conversion of the slave girl stirred up the anger of those who were making a profit of her ability to tell the fortunes. And so that brings us to our scripture reading today in Acts chapter 16, beginning with verse 19. Most of the time, when we read this passage, we focus on the conversion of the Philippian jailer with his question, "What must I do to be saved?" And the answer that Paul gives to her is a classic answer indeed, where he says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved." But today, I want us to take a deeper look at the lesson in this passage and see how the grace of God helped Paul and Silas in this time of affliction in their lives. What an ordeal these men faced. Talk about injustice and mistreatment, unfairness, grievance. We have to really feel sorry for Paul and Silas. They had done nothing but good, and yet were receiving nothing but evil at the hands of others. Yet Paul and Silas show us what the grace of God can do for us if we put our trust and faith in Him. He gives us grace abundant in those times of real trial. Grace that gives us victory in the midnight hour of our lives is certainly grace worth having. Verse 25 in our reading says that at midnight, Paul and Silas sang praises unto God while the prisoners listened and heard them sing. I've often wondered how they knew it was midnight. They didn't have clocks on the wall back then. The sundials didn't work at midnight. So how did they know it was midnight? Well, I've come to the conclusion that it's always midnight in the dark hour of the soul. When you're going through a time of trouble and trial and tribulation, it's always midnight in the dark hour of the soul. And at midnight, in the dark hour of their soul, they were singing praises to God. What a wonderful demonstration of God's grace that is. May I ask you today, is it midnight in your life? Do you have some serious concerns in your life? Are you in a troubled relationship, a troubled marriage? Are you facing problems at work, at school, at home? Have you received bad news about your health, about your family? Do you feel like your world is crumbling in around you? It is always midnight in the dark hour of the soul. And a God who can provide joy and victory by His grace in the midst of suffering is certainly a God worth knowing. This, my friends, is the real proof of Christianity. The fact that it works under the harshest and hardest of circumstances. What God gave to Paul and Silas and what God did for Paul and Silas in their midnight hour, God can do for you and I in our times of suffering and hurting. The grace God gave to them, God wants to give to us today as well. So let's examine the kind of grace God gave to Paul and Silas in the midnight hour of their lives. First of all, God gives grace to rejoice when it'd be easier to whine. And again, we see that in verse 25. For preaching the gospel of salvation, the way of salvation, Paul and Silas were put into prison, having been falsely accused, unjustly condemned, and severely beaten. Paul and Silas had done nothing but good and had received nothing but evil. But they did not whine. They did not cry. They did not complain. In fact, they did not grumble. They were not having a pity party nor licking their wounds. Instead, we read, at midnight, they sang praises to God while the other prisoners listened. The world is always listening to see what we'll do as Christians under pressure. Instead of complaining, we find they were singing praises, and my friends, that takes real grace. Their bodies ached from being beaten. That was enough to make most people do anything but sing. Most people I know complain and grumble even without their bodies aching. How were Paul and Silas able to rejoice instead of whining? Only by the grace of God given to them through Jesus Christ our Lord. I wonder what they sang. The book of Psalms was their hymnal. Maybe they sang words like these from the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Or maybe they were singing words from Psalms 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. The Psalms are full of great songs that we can sing in the midnight hour of our soul. Paul and Silas had a song in their heart, even in the hour of midnight. Why? Because the grace of God was real in their hearts. And by the grace of God, you and I can still sing unto the Lord, even in our time of trials, the midnight hour of our lives. We can sing songs like God is still on the throne. What a friend we have in Jesus. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Victory in Jesus. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Let me ask you, have you been singing or have you been whining lately? What have you been complaining about the most? What have been your gripes? When we walk with the Lord, by His wonderful grace, we too can have a song in the midst of our troubles. The grace of God turns night into day and sorrow into song. Faith in God's goodness and grace puts strength in the soul and a song in the heart. God's grace breaks the bands of our troubles. The truest expression of our faith is not a sigh, but a song. From the safety of our homes and the comfort of the pews at church, it's easy to sing, but Christ can give us a song even in the tribulations of life. At a funeral of a well-known atheist, the news press reported there was no music. You see, those without faith in God have no song in their darkest hour. But how different it was for a young wife and mother whose husband had suddenly passed away, leaving her with five young children to raise. After the service, she and the children found their way into the funeral car, and then, without announcement or prompting, with a radiant face, she began to sing as the children joined in. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy, I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls me home. Oh, how attractive it is, that song in the night. How real, how majestic, how beautiful, how inspiring is the song God gives His children in the night by His marvelous, enabling grace. Often, our best songs are born in the night of pain and disappointment. The grace of God is greater than the grief of life. But the second thing I wanted to see in this passage is that God gives grace to stand when it'd be easier to run. And this we see in verses 26 through 28. Suddenly we are told that there was a great earthquake and the prison was shaken at its foundation and all the doors flew open. And the chains of every prisoner fell off. God shaked them out. The jailer had a key to the jail, but God had a key to the foundation of the jail, the foundation upon which the jail stood. Paul and Silas could have run for their lives. They could have escaped, but instead, God enabled them to stay put. They believed that God had a good purpose in allowing their imprisonment in the first place. You too can stand firm when you truly believe that God is in control. Problems are not solved by running from them. Some people run literally from marriages, from relationships, from job to job, even from church to church. Some people try to escape by way of drugs or alcohol or lust. Remember, my friends, wherever you go, there you are. It doesn't pay to run. God's grace can enable us to face the worst that life dishes out. Paul, at a later time, now in prison in Rome, wrote back to the Christians here in Philippi, and he was able to say to them in Philippians chapter 4, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Are there times in your life you'd like to run? Run from your problems? Run from your responsibilities? Somebody said something? Somebody did something you didn't like? You got your feelings hurt? You want to run? You just want to escape? Our problems are not solved by running from them. God's grace can enable us to stand firm and strong even in those difficult times of life. God's grace can give you the courage to stand when it'd be easier to run away. After all, my friends, if God be for us, who can be against us? Difficulty is the very atmosphere of miracles. The more difficult and troubling the trial, the greater the miracle of God's grace in our heart and life. You may or may not be familiar with the story of missionary Jim Elliot, who in the 1950s was determined to reach the tribe of the fierce Aqua Indians in the jungles of South America, where the gospel had never been preached before. Jim Elliot would say, why should some people hear the gospel twice when others have not heard the gospel even once? Our orders are the gospel to every creature. However, on January the 8th, 1956, Jim Elliot, at the age of 28, and four companions were speared and hacked to death by warriors from the Aqua tribe. In spite of that tragic event, his wife bravely returned to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to the very people who had killed her husband. It'd been easier for Elizabeth Elliot never to return to that mission field, but God gave her the grace to stand when it'd be easier for her to run away. And as a result of her efforts and her courage and the enabling grace of God, many Aqua Indians eventually came to accept Christ as their Savior, even those who had killed her husband, because of her brave and courageous spirit. Her books, written through Gates of Splendor and the book Shadows of the Almighty, speak passionately of the power, the majesty, and sovereignty of God, as she tells of the life and martyr of her husband, Jim Elliot. Christ gave Elizabeth Elliot the grace to stand when it had been easier for her to run away. And my friends, God's grace triumphs always over man's wrath. God's grace triumphs over our problems and can enable us to stand firm when it'd be easier for us to run away. By God's all-sufficient grace, we can have victory with a margin. One more point I want to share. God also gives grace to love when it'd be easier for us to hate. And this we see in verse 32. Those who brought charges against Paul and Silas had grabbed them and dragged them before the judges, making false charges against them. A mob was quickly formed against them, and the judges ordered them stripped of their dignity and beaten with wooden rods. Again and again, the rods slashed down across their bare backs, and then Paul and Silas were thrown into prison. The jailer put them in the inner dungeon of the prison and clamped their feet in the stocks. But now we're told, that same jailer who represented the whole unfair system was on his knees pleading for help. Oh, how easy it would have been for Paul and Silas to hate him, to ignore him, to smite him, to wish him harm or ill, or even to allow him to go ahead and kill himself. At least they could have done was to ignore his plea. But instead, we are told, Paul spoke unto him the word of the Lord. They told that prisoner, that prison jailer, and all of his household the good news of Jesus Christ and a saving grace. Paul and Silas loved and cherished the very man who represented their enemy. And God can do that for us with his enabling grace. He can help us to genuinely love those who mistreat us. How do you treat those that mistreat you? Do you hate them, resent them, wish them ill, try to ignore them, pray that God will heap coals of fire upon their heads? The grace of God can enable you to love someone when it'd be easier to hate that person. In fact, his grace can help you to genuinely love those of other races, other nations, of other beliefs. It is not about race, it's about grace. His grace can enable you to love those who despitefully use you, take advantage of you, walk on you, step all over you. You can love them by the grace of God. This is the marvelous extent of God's redeeming and sanctifying and all-sufficient grace. At a men's retreat, a truck driver who had only recently become a Christian was asked to share some specific way that Christ had made a difference or a change in his life. He paused for a moment to reflect, and then he said, "Well, when I find somebody tailgating my truck, I no longer drive on the shoulder of the road in order to kick up stones at them." You see, what was happening? He was learning to love instead of hate. And God's grace in our hearts through Jesus Christ can enable you to love rather than hate. Oh, the marvelous enabling grace of God. The secret of such victorious, sanctified living is the grace of God found in Jesus Christ, our Lord. God gives us grace to rejoice and to sing when it'd be easier to whine and complain. He gives us grace to stand firm when it'd be easier to run away. And he gives us grace to love when it'd be easier to hate. Christ did not promise an exemption from our problems. Nowhere in the Bible is it implied that Christians have an easy journey through life. The promise of Scripture is that in the midst of hardship and pain, Christ will be there to encourage, to comfort, to sustain, to enable. The grace of God grips us and holds us so that the circumstances no longer matter or are important. The flower of God's grace appears in the most unlikely places. But oh, how real, how majestic, how beautiful, how inspiring is the grace of God in the midnight hour of our lives. It is always midnight in the dark hour of the soul. In God's grace, our troubles and tragedies become bearable. We can face each day with confidence, with faith, and with God's enabling grace. While we do not know what the future holds, we do know who holds the future, and we can know his all-sufficient grace moment by moment and day by day. Whatever your problem, whatever your situation, your need, your circumstances, God has grace available to you. The Bible tells us that he is the God of all grace. Whatever grace you need, he has available just for you. So open your heart today to God's marvelous enabling grace. Appropriate God's grace. Lay hold of God's grace today. There is no rationing of God's grace, no shortage of his grace. There is plenty of grace available for your need. For he still promises to you and me, my grace is sufficient for you. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God, and there we'll find grace to help us in our time of need. Let us bow our hearts in prayer. Father, I pray today that your grace will be made available abundantly to the hearts and lives of all who are here and to those who are in their home listening by way of live stream or Facebook. May they find grace to help them in every hour of need in their lives. As the songwriter says, though many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The music team's going to come, and we're going to sing together, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound.